We're speaking with Colonel Stephen Schrader. He's the outgoing garrison commander at Fort Riley, and he's going to be having a change of command on July 16th. Well, I'm curious, looking back on your 2 years here, what do you consider the highlights of your tenure or your greatest accomplishments?
Wow, that's, so, you know, 2 years seems like a long time, but it goes by so fast. And, you know, super proud of the USAG Riley team, the garrison team out here. It's not any individual accomplishments. It's frankly the hard work of a, you know, 1,200 plus garrison workforce and all the partners that we've got in the region. And the 2019 Army Community of Excellence Bronze Medal winners, that's a huge accomplishment for the garrison. You know, we brought in, you know, more than $80 million of restoration and modernization money in order to renovate barracks on the installation and get after Army housing and barracks priorities, and to support Chief Staff of the Army initiatives. You know, we brought in, you know, additional restoration and modernization funds and continue $7.5 million to renovate our largest child development center on the base. You know, the Corvius Solutions Investments Program, through your privatized housing partner, we're the first Army installation to benefit out of the $325 million that project brought to new homes. You know, for Fort Riley, that's specifically $62.1 million and 96 new homes that are being built, or 96 pads, 80 new homes, 32 full renovations of homes, 84 renovated roofs in our old historic main post. And we've got, you know, energy conservation measures that are going to be put into every single home on the installation. That's 3,827 homes in order to conserve energy and modernize those facilities to make sure that our soldiers, families, and civilians have safe, secure, and quality homes. You know, our MWR team has got recognized and made it into a national finalist for the American Parks Recreation Gold Medal Award. And that's a huge deal. There's four other Army installations that are out there in the running this year, but we're also in the running with, you know, you're talking cities like Dallas, Texas, and San Antonio, and a place like that. You know, huge cities that have massive parks and recreation programs, and this program recognizes excellence in recreation. And so it's an honor for the MWR team's honor for the installation, because they're super creative and super innovative in their measures. And not only just, you know, how we save money, but how we save that money and turn that money back into relevant recreation programs for the families that are on the installation. You know, renovating an old bowling alley and turning it into spare time interactive entertainment with golf simulators and rock climbing wall, ATV courses and whatnot. Those are some of the, you know, crowning achievements that the team's continually working on and doing here on the installation. And, you know, that's a short list. You know, the list is so long. We sit here on the rest of the interview talking about all the great accomplishments. BPW is, you know, water and energy conservation awards that they've won from the Department of the Army. And, you know, we won the Department of the Army safety award this year. And so this tremendous, hard-working workforce that does a great job of communicating with the local community to help us achieve those tasks.
And of course, all that good news, it comes with some challenges. I know the COVID-19 has been the primary one, at least this year, but what have some other challenges that you faced here as a garrison commander?
Well, you know, so every single day is a different day. And when you walk in, you know, there's battle rhythm events that are, you know, are quantities, but you've always got some other challenge that pops up, no matter what's going on. And it could be, you know, a year ago before COVID, it was the Army housing crisis. You know, now the Army housing campaign, and that crisis was certainly not the same for every installation. We've been very fortunate that our private housing partner is a phenomenal team to work for, and they've done a phenomenal job providing safe, secure, quality homes on the installation. And I was joking around with my team the other day that we need to start, you know, February and March needs to be when we execute our full-scale exercises, because that seems to be the months on the calendar where something's going to happen out there across the Army, no matter what, and the last 2 years hold true. So whatever the challenge is or whatever it presents itself, we've got battle drills and plans that are sitting on the shelf that we exercise regularly to be able to handle those. We whether it's severe winter weather, severe spring weather, or whether it's a COVID-19 pandemic. And the team's prepped and armed and ready to go for all of them.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Colonel Stephen Schrader, outgoing garrison commander at Fort Riley. And 2 years ago, here we asked you what impressed you about Fort Riley and the Flint Hills communities. How would you answer that question today?
Well, that's an easy question to answer. You know, 2 years ago, you know, I dropped my family off, really 3 years ago, coming out of the Army War College, and put them here at Fort Riley so the kids to get started in school. And I went to Afghanistan for about a year before taking command. And so the community wrapped their arms around the family, welcomed them with open arms, and really provided a great opportunity to see what the Central Flint Hills had to offer, you know, both inside the installation and outside the installation. And it was tremendous support from the community. And I think every soldier gets the benefit of that. You know, it's not just Steve Schrader and his family. That's the one thing that sets this place apart from other locations. You just can't beat the level of community support. And that holds true today. You know, the past 2 years as a garrison commander, I've said it numerous, you know, hundreds of thousands of times in open settings and forum public places, that Fort Riley is the best place to live, train, deploy from, come home to, and in some cases retire. And we have the ability to say that because of the support of the local community. And that holds true today, 2 years later, after, you know, 2 years of command. I've got a wife and two kids and myself that are, you know, that we don't want to leave because it's been such a great experience for 2 years. You know, I've got a 16-year-old that just finished up his sophomore year at Jefferson City High School. And for the last, you know, 6-8 months, he's been completely focused on, you know, how do I wind up staying here in Junction City, Kansas to finish, you know, his last 2 years of high school out at JCHS. And you know, my oldest son, Mason, he's graduated Junction City High School this year, but he's actually going to be coming back to Kansas. He'll start college in the fall at Pitt State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas, you know, over in the southeast. And so, you know, the Flint Hills region and the state of Kansas has made a significant impression on the Schrader family, and that's because of the community. You guys do a great job of wrapping everybody into it.
Well, let's talk about your next assignment. You're heading off to the Kentucky-Tennessee border, from what I see.
Yeah, I'm headed to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is, you know, got the privilege of straddling the state line of Kentucky and Tennessee. You know, it's one of those unique Army installations. Not most of the installations fall squarely into one state or another. Fort Campbell gets the support of two states, but I'll be the chief of staff of the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell. It's not our first time at Fort Campbell. I've spent a few years there over my military career and served in the division previously, and so a little bit of a homecoming in some regards, but it certainly is bittersweet. You know, it's bitter because we've made such great and wonderful friends and developed such great relationships here in Kansas and the Flint Hills region. You know, we hate to see those, you know, leave those relationships, but we'll maintain them from distance. But it's sweet in the fact that, you know, it's a great opportunity for the family. Looking forward to a very challenging job as a chief of staff of the 101st Airborne Division. You know, my first duty assignment in the United States Army as a second lieutenant was in 3rd of the 502nd Infantry at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, in their 2nd Brigade. And so it's pretty cool to go back, you know, 20-plus years later to be the chief of staff of that same division.
Well, let's talk about your successor. What advice, or maybe you've had some conversations with him, what advice are you giving him?
Well, we've had several conversations, and, you know, some of those have been virtual because of COVID, but he's on the ground here at Fort Riley now for about the last 2 weeks, and we've been doing transition meetings and getting him around to meet the local community. We've had several meetings with, you know, county commissioners and the Manhattan Chamber, the Fort Riley Chamber, the AUSA presidents, and just all the great partnerships that we've got across the installation. You know, in my conversations to him outside of those meetings, you know, first thing I've always told him is, number one, is you're not going to want to leave this place because of the tremendous support of the community, and that you're never going to have a problem seeing the 8 surrounding counties and the Flint Hills come up on the net and try to support Fort Riley, which is a great problem to have, because we can't do what we do on a day-to-day basis without the support of the community. And the second thing I always tell him is that communication is absolutely critical. And as the garrison commander, that's a role that he's going to play significantly over the next 2 years in continuing to communicate with the more than 108 partners that we've got across the region on and off the installation, communicate with the counties, Flint Hills Leadership, Regional Leadership Council, Region Reimagined. I mean, there's multiple organizations that we participate in on a weekly, monthly basis that improves the region and improves the installation for the long haul. So that's the best advice I can provide to him, because those are the exact same people that are going to help work and manipulate through challenges that are faced in the coming years, no matter what they may be.
All right, I'm just going to ask you, I'm not trying to throw a curveball at you here. This is just kind of a fun question at the end here. Where's the better barbecue, the Kansas area or down in the South? What would you say?
Where's the better barbecue, Kansas area or down in the South? So I love barbecue. The wife and I actually have fun traveling around and finding very good barbecue joints. We are pretty much, Kansas City type barbecue folks. So, nice, thick, rich, basted on there barbecue sauce. We're not really vinaigrette or mustard type barbecue eaters out there. So it's just, you typically see that more in the South, Southeast a lot of times. We both grew up in Tennessee, and so it's kind of good to see, Tennessee and Kansas share similar tastes of barbecue flavors out there. So there's some great KC barbecue places and here in the region, and in Tennessee share some of those as well. So we've enjoyed them all. I mean, to pick a favorite, that's hard to do. There's too many favorite joints that we've found over the last few years that we've been married that we like to frequent. East Tennessee holds a place called Calhoun's on the River that's pretty near and dear to our heart, but it's very similar to a lot of the places you'll find in Kansas City or even out here in the Flint Hills region as far as barbecue flavor.
I'll keep that in mind. All right. Well, Colonel Schrader, always a pleasure to have you on, and we wish you the best of luck going forward.
Well, thank you, Brandon. I appreciate your time, and I know it's always a pleasure to be able to get on and talk about Fort Riley to the local audience out there. Appreciate everything you all do to help us communicate what the installation's about and what's going on in the community. So appreciate your all's time, and look forward to keeping tabs on what happens in the Flint Hill region even after we leave and head out to Fort Campbell, Kentucky.